Well, Reggie didn't even know. Reggie and I had not talked last week, but he led right into this series that I've been planning on doing and praying about, and kind of fitting that he spoke about what he did. And so turn to Job 14. We're going to start there. We're definitely not going to continue there entirely, but Job chapter 14, which is what Reggie preached on last week a little bit. I will go back to where he preached, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But as I get started, excuse me, I want to talk about, over the next couple of weeks, the power of water. And Reggie really gave a little bit of a lead into that without even knowing he had. And so I want to expound on what he talked about a little bit last week. And he started there in verse 7. I want to recap what he read, and then we'll get started this morning. But what he read, it says, "For there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. But if a man dies and is laid away, indeed he breathes his last, and where is he? As water disappears from the sea, and a river becomes parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep." Now he stopped there after verse 10. But those verses speak a lot about water. And in fact, as you continue through Job chapter 14, it speaks a lot about water. And we'll get down to verse 19 here in just a few minutes. But as we get started, I want to talk about the power of water. And it reminded me, as I was looking over some things this week, and Blake will probably get a real big kick out of this. I kind of call it the Bruce Lee parable, so to speak. You know who Bruce Lee is, right? And Bruce Lee is a martial arts expert. He's also a philosopher and really was the ultimate Asian icon while he was alive. And everybody that grew up in the Asian continent, more or less, wanted to be him or be like him in some ways. But Bruce Lee was someone who a lot of Americans also wanted to be like. I mean, he was your typical icon. I mean, he was their Chuck Norris, so to speak. But what we look at in this is that he had many wise words that illustrated the philosophies. And Blake, correct me if I get this pronunciation wrong, but was it Jeet Kune Do? Is that what he started? Jeet Kune Do. So he basically created a martial art. And he founded this martial art style. And he had a lot of philosophies that went with it. And the philosophies had many applications to life. But I found that in studying this week, they have a lot of applications to our lives as Christians. Some of the statements he made really do kind of maybe shine through. And we can use those as Christians. He studied martial arts for many years and had done very well with it until one day he lost a fight. And it almost ended his career. It almost ended everything that he had wanted to have a part in. And he had to rethink the way that he did things, the way he moved, the way he acted, the way he reacted. And you see, the style that he had learned as a youth told him that you can only throw a punch as if you are standing in exactly a certain position. The only time you can throw a kick is if your target is only moving in this direction or that direction. Now, you go through karate classes and you're taught certain reactive motions, correct? So basically, he had only been taught, and the way he thought about it, he had only been taught to react. He had never really been taught to act. The way he acted and reacted was something that he had learned. And he questioned why he lost. He learned that by only doing things the way he had been taught, it limited him in what he could do. And it limited the things that he needed to do. And he said he needed to break free from the limits that had been placed in his life. So he spent years rethinking his style and the application until one day it hit him. And this is a very key part of where we're going with all of this. But it hit him. And the thought that hit him was water. He said, I must be like water. Now, I do have a longer quote here in a moment, but think about this for a moment. He realized that water holds no form. Now, I've talked about this in the Spirit, as in the three levels of the Trinity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before, where God is the water, and then the ice is obviously Jesus Christ as the solid form, and the Spirit itself is the water vapor. I talked about that in a sermon one time, how that works. Now, do we look at it that way? Probably not. You know, it was a good analogy of three different states of the same thing. But where we're going with this today, we need to understand something, that we must be like water. Now, as Reggie talked last week, and he talked about how the scent of water made that tree grow. If we go on down to verse 19, I'm not going to read it yet, but if we go down to verses 18, 19, and 20 of Job chapter 14, we're going to see something about water. But Bruce Lee noticed that water holds no form, but yet it takes on any form that it's placed into. Now, with that, water can be calm and peaceful, and yet it can be powerful and destructive. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of these different things. But during an interview, this is what he said about being like water. And I want to open with this first. It says, be like water, making its way through cracks. Do not be assertive, but adjust to the object, and you shall find a way around or through it. If nothing within you stays rigid, outward things will disclose themselves. Empty your mind, be formless, shapeless, like water. If you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. If you put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend. And we think about that mentality, and he applied that to his martial arts. It made him what many consider the greatest of all time, because he adapted to the circumstances. Now, if we take that and we apply it to our Christian life, doesn't it pretty much sum up what we should be like no matter how we look at life? No matter what life is like, shouldn't we maybe take on some of those forms of water for ourselves? You know, we as Christians shouldn't just hold to what we know best. We shouldn't just hold to the traditional way we've been taught, because sometimes that's not exactly the way that it should be. And many times we get wrapped up in what this scripture says or that scripture says. We get wrapped up in what this pastor says or that preacher said. And we start to let ourselves get wrapped up in the things that we've not studied for ourselves, but yet we've been told to do. Now, if you think back just a moment ago, I talked about how Bruce Lee lost a fight. And in reviewing that within his own mind, the reason he felt he lost the fight was because he was reacting the way he had always been taught to react. So if we think about that today, we should be able to adapt and change forms that address the issues that we are facing in that moment. Now, if we remember last week, and Reggie talked about some of the different powers of water, some of the different things that happened. He did talk about a couple of different stories that we could see going on. But I want to take it a step farther than Reggie did last week. I want to take it to a different degree, because over the next couple of weeks, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at the different powers of water, the different states of water. We're going to look at the different things that happen as we go through this. Now, we all know from science class, water exists in three states, correct? It exists in solid, liquid, and gaseous form. You have ice, which is frozen water. You have water, which is water, liquid water, I guess. And you have water vapor, or you have steam, or you have, you know, I mean, there's water vapor in the air now. We can't see it, but we know it's there because we use a dehumidifier and it pulls it out of the air and turns it back into water. So, I mean, we know that there is water around us. We know that water makes up our bodies. We know that in reality, we are in a lot of ways like water. And I've talked about it in the past, like I said, where we apply certain aspects of it and how God can move because he's formless and he can adapt to the circumstances we put him in, and he's always there and he always makes us aware of his presence if we're looking for him in those circumstances, just as water does. Water moves around things, but why shouldn't we be like water ourselves? When we take that application that Bruce Lee was talking about and we apply it, we start to understand a little bit more. But I want to learn a little more about water by using scripture. If we go to Job chapter 14, starting in verse 18, it says, "But as a mountain falls and crumbles away, and his rock is moved from its place, as water wears away stones, and as torrents wash away the soil of the earth, so you destroy the hope of man. You prevail forever against him and he passes on. You change his countenance and you send him away. His sons come to honor and he does not know it. They are brought low and he does not perceive it. But his flesh will be in pain over it and his soul will mourn over it." Now, the reason I read the rest of that chapter is because in that chapter, what we do see is the power of God being compared to water. But what we also see is the power of water. As water washes away stones, as water wears away stones and torrents wash away the soil of the earth. If we think about the power of water, we don't have to think hard about what we understand about the power of water. Look at Hurricane Irma. Look at what has happened over the last few weeks. That is the power of water. Hurricanes are a great example of the power of water. Flooding that takes place washes away stones. It washes away the earth. It leaves things broken. Water can be a very, very destructive force. As water wears away stone, water wearing away stone, water can be very destructive. I mean, we talked about the Grand Canyon. We've talked about, we talk about these things constantly. But we know the power of water. Many of us have probably experienced it in some form or fashion. There's been some sort of flooding that has affected us. I mean, if we think back a few years to when the storms passed through here and we saw the flooding take place, it was washing away creek banks. It was washing away homes. Whether we were directly affected by it or not, we know the effects that happened. But as I said, you know, the Grand Canyon was formed by water wearing away stone over time. And we use water to break away large stone in fields. I've seen people use pressure washer. You use a pressure washer to clean, to blow away the old, to get things cleaned off and start up. I mean, who was here helping clean that porch out there? And you're taking it and you're using the pressure washer and it's just taking the dirt right out of the cracks and the crevices. And in a couple of cases, it actually took the grout from between the brick. I mean, you have those situations that take place. You pour water into holes that are chiseled and then you freeze it and it expands and cracks the large rocks. That's how they used to break rock up. You would drill a hole, you would chisel a hole into the middle of the rock, and then you would pour water in. And then a cold night would come. And by freezing it, it would cause that stone to break because water was that much stronger in a solid form. You need to remove things from fields. That's the way they would do it. When they needed to till a garden, that might be the way that they would go about it. There's a lot of things that water has always been used for. But even God used the destructive force of water to remove things that he couldn't use to be productive from the harvest. Think about it. Noah, the flood. God destroyed the earth with water. So water is a very destructive and powerful force. But water is also very calming. I mean, Cindy, you love the beach, right? Why? Because it's refreshing. It's calming. You sit and you just enjoy the calm. You watch the waves crash. And you realize that that same water is destructive in a hurricane, but it's peaceful on a summer day. You realize that the lake, that that same water is destructive when flooding takes place and it begins to overflow riverbanks and begins to come up and sit and tear through towns. But it's also a source of relaxation and fun. Psalm 23, he leads me beside still water. Really? I mean, this is the same water, correct? This is the same water we're talking about, but in two different forms. Water is so destructive, but it can bring about comfort and security. It can be tranquil. It can be refreshing. And they've got stress therapies that are out there. And I don't know how many of you have maybe heard of this, but where you listen to water. Those of you that like to sit at the ocean, just hearing the ocean and the waves crash is something that leads you to relaxation, right? I mean, if you just hear the waves crash somewhere, if you just happen to hear the ocean, I mean, you can distinctively tell it right away. You know that it's an ocean. You know that it's the waves crashing on the shore. You don't have to be told, well, here, listen to this. This is the ocean. I mean, the moment it happens, you're just like, I recognize that sound. And it brings a peace over you. It brings a comfort. You know, they record the sound, maybe of a slow-moving stream or of an ocean, and then they put it into use as sounds that can relax us. And across the world, we've always taken the time to seek out clean water. Water is a life source to man. So if we're looking at the destructive power of water, the lack of water can be destructive to man, just as much as the abundance of water. But then you have that calm and that comfort that comes from having water. We're secure in the fact that if we have water, and it's clean water, we can drink it. We have a life source that can help us through the day. You know, every major civilization has always been based around a water supply. If we look at it in that way, you know, until filtration systems came, you couldn't settle certain areas of the world. But every civilization has always based themselves around a clean water supply. And even looking at the ancient Roman civilizations and the ancient Indian civilizations, they found trenches where they dug to have that water supply redirected into certain areas so that they could have that water. So you know that water is very important. You know, it's a need that we have, but it's also a tool. Water has been used for cleaning. It can be used to grow crops. It can be used to produce electric power. And it can be used in physical therapy. It can be used in a number of different ways. We use water every single day. So why do I want to talk about the power of water? Well, one, it's a destructive force. Two, it can change the face of the earth. Three, when water is not under control, it can take life and cause massive damage. However, when water is under control, it supports life. It naturally attracts life to it. It produces power and it's therapeutic. So when we look at these key ingredients of water, and we think back to what was said last week about just the scent of water could make that tree grow, well, here we are. We're talking about the power of water. And the power of water is this: we need to be like water. Because we have that same mentality within us. We can be destructive to others. We can destroy other people with our words, with our actions, with the way we handle life, with the way we carry ourselves, with the way we handle certain circumstances and situations. We become destructive to one another. But we can also be a calming, a therapeutic, a stressless effect on someone as well. You know, spouses typically turn to one another and they cause a calming effect when someone has someone to talk to. Or parents, maybe you're that for a child. Or you find friends within this world who just something about them makes you feel better about the circumstances you're facing. Something about them makes you understand a little bit better about life that you might be facing today. I want to look at how all this comes together with God, though, because I don't want to leave it just blank here and say. So I want to start with John chapter 4. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because I don't know that a lot of time needs to be spent. The scripture pretty well speaks for itself on this today. But what I want us to understand is that as we look over this, as we look at how water works and how water has played out within life, what we start to see is that the power of water can be destructive, but it can also be refreshing and life-giving and comforting. And we need to understand that if we are like water, we can do one or the other, but it's a whole lot better to be the life-giving, the therapeutic. It's a whole lot better to be like that sense of water. But John chapter 4, starting in verse 9 and going through 15, it says this, "And then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" Now, we know the history of this. The Samaritans were half Gentile, half Jew. So basically, they were something that no one wanted to have any part with. No one wanted to be around them because they weren't fully Jew, but they weren't fully Gentile, so they didn't really fit a mold. Has anybody ever felt caught in the middle? Because that's what a Samaritan was. And she knew that Jews would not speak to her because Jews didn't associate with anyone but Jews, basically, is the way tradition was. Jesus answered her and said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered her and said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Now, we know the rest of the story. If we continue on into that story, we know that the Samaritan woman, then Jesus says, "Well, go and bring your husband." And she says, "I do not have a husband." Jesus says, "You're right, because the man you're with now is not your husband. You've got five before." And he goes through this entire story with her. But what is important in this part of the story is this. Jesus compares water with earthly water. He says he is the source. He talks about the source of living water that you will never thirst again, but the water I shall give will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, that should be self-explanatory, and we could stop here, but we're going to dive a little deeper into this just in case somebody happened to miss the point. I don't want to take a lot of time on this. I just want us to understand where I'm coming from. Water can do anything it wants to do. Once water starts to flow, there's nothing that's going to stop it. It's going to find a way in. You get a leak in the roof, and you don't attend to that and stop the flow of water, it's only going to get worse. Once water finds its way in, it destroys. It can become something good or bad. But once water finds its way in, water, it's really hard to stop it without sealing up where the water came in, right? So what we see here is this. Water can take any form. It can take any form and bring life or take life. Now, if we look at the destructive or the beneficial, it can either give life or take life. We talked about water out of control versus water under control. Jesus here is the living water. And he tells the Samaritan woman that his water can do all the things that our water can do, plus one little thing extra. Because see, Jesus' water that he speaks of here in John chapter 4 is living water. It's a little different than the regular water we have here on earth. Because Jesus' water has that control factor with it. Because that living water that Jesus has gives life. It does not take it. It's under control. and it's poured out controlled because it's given and it can lead to something greater. His water will give all who drink of it everlasting life, everlasting satisfaction. You never thirst again, and you find life that is refreshing and new, and you will never thirst for something more, because that water is filling, it is satisfying, and it is something that will lead you to a life that is abundant and free from all the troubles. He's offering this to the Samaritan woman. His water will give him a well of water that springs up to everlasting life. But here is the key part of where that water will come from. Once you drink, that water becomes you. And it wells up from inside of you. It is a spring that flows from within each one of us once we accept the gift of the drink. Do you get that today? Do you understand that water, the power that comes with water, if we look at the story of the Samaritan woman, when that living water came, it only required one drink. It didn't require us to keep going back to the well. It didn't require us to continue going back and saying, well, I just didn't get the right drink this time. No, it took one drink and then it becomes you. It wells up inside of you, and it's something that you now have that leads you to everlasting and eternal life. It's basically the story of accepting and living a Christian life. All it takes is one drink from that well of living water, from that source. And that source is Jesus Christ. He is the living water. He offers us that drink today, and if we take one drink, it will well up inside of us, and it will become who we are, and it will lead us to that life, but others will also see it, and we can offer others a drink of the same well, because it's not us going back to the well to find water. It's us leading others to the well so that they can have that first drink. It's that first drink that is very key in our lives today. It's the first drink, because whoever drinks of that water will not thirst again. Whoever drinks of that water will not have the problems. No matter how dry you are, no matter your environment, no matter how hot and fiery the surroundings can be, you will never thirst again, no matter what is going on in your life. No matter what dead or dry place that you find yourself today, no matter what circumstance is keeping you from finding happiness right now, you take one drink of that living water. The Samaritan woman did not have a life that was worth anything to her. She had her sixth man, not her husband, five husbands prior, who knows what else her life held. She was a sinner, but even more, she was quote unquote half of what anybody else was. They judged her by that. Her name, being a Samaritan woman, meant that she was not a Jew, so she wasn't accepted. But here's the key part. Jesus, being Jesus, offered her a drink. He didn't offer her a drink and say, wait, you're not a Jew. Sorry, not for you. No. That drink of water is for everyone. And Jesus knew that. And he took it to the Samaritan woman. He sat on the well. And she said, you're asking me for a drink. And you're offering me a drink as well? And, I mean, here's the story. She's like, you have nothing to get the water with. And Jesus is like, you don't understand. I am that water. I am that life that you need. I am the one that came to give you something better. And he's saying that to each one of us today. He's saying, once you have what I am giving you, once you have what I have for you, you will never suffer the pain of thirst. You will never have to ask the questions of now what. You will never have to do any of that. You won't have to ask the what do I do nows, the how can I fix my issues, the how can I not hurt. Those questions go to the wayside with this. Do you understand what this living water does? Now let me just recap the power of water for a moment. Because didn't I say that water can be destructive? but also refreshing. It's a water that will never cause us to thirst again, but it's a water that destroys who we were. It's a water that will wash away the old life. It will get the rocks out of the path. It will clean the way for us to go. And there we are, not thirsty, on a clear path, because God has taken care of all the troubles that we were facing. Maybe the questions that you have are, how can I not feel alone? How can I not feel empty? Maybe you're asking this, I know there's something else in life that I'm thirsting for, but yet I can't find it. There's just this hole that is left within me, and I don't know where to go to find relief. Once you've allowed Christ into your heart, the questions find their answers, and it's all because of water. Once you've been satisfied by this water, once you bring Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior, He will satisfy your thirst in a way that will never cause you to thirst again. I need you to understand this today. Water is power. Water can do many things, and I almost wish that I had brought something up here just to show you. Where you just pour water around rocks and it goes. You pour water in and it will move and it will get to where it needs to make sure that every inch is filled. You see, this living water that God offers is life. And it's Christ. And He's abundant. And He will give it to you. And all He's saying is, take one drink and you'll never thirst again. Because once you take that drink, it becomes who you are as well. And it wells up from inside you because you've accepted it in. Do you need to accept that in today? Over the next couple weeks, we are going to talk about water. We'll talk about the destructive power of water. We'll talk about the refreshing power of water. But what we want to understand today is the power of water. It's plain and simple. I don't have to talk about all the different things that water can do, because there's so many things it can do. But that living water will come in and clear you out. It will wash away the old, the rocky, the trouble, and it will bring in the new. So today, are you willing to accept that? Are you willing to allow yourself to take that first drink? Maybe you have took that first drink, but you forgot that the well was inside you. You know, maybe you need to taste it again. But I want to pretty well say this. I would venture to say, if you feel like you are thirsty for that living water, did you ever take the first real drink? Did you ever actually accept that within you? Did you ever actually, it's a really hard thing to kind of put a cap on and push down, because when you fully accept it and you fully understand it and you fully let it in, you don't want something else. Nothing else will satisfy. But maybe that's why, while you're in the world, you're out there seeking for other things. That's why it doesn't satisfy. So as we close out today, we're going to sing 201, Just As I Am. We just can't sing the first and last verse. But if you have a decision to make, make it. Allow yourself to take that first drink of water. Because water is powerful. And it's a lot more powerful than we ever thought. There's a lot more water than we ever thought, too.